Welcome back to InPod, your home for all things InFlow. I'm Nick Sweeney, and I'm your host. And this week, I wanted to take a little bit more of a dive into the 3D experience platform. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about really getting started with the platform. If you remember a couple months ago, I had a conversation with Jordan Taddock. We split it into two parts, just about the 3D experience platform as a whole and what you can really do with it. This week, I wanted to bring in Mike Farley from the InFlow sales team to talk more about getting started, what those roles look like, and the kind of people that maybe it makes a lot of sense for them to start looking at the cloud. So with that, I'm going to jump into my interview with Mike Farley. So this week, I've brought in Mike Farley, the sales director of 3D Experience here with InFlow and CATI. And I wanted Mike to kind of talk with me about new users in 3D Experience and getting started. You know, we've kind of had these intro discussions of this is the 3D Experience platform. This is kind of broadly what the tool does. But what I want to do today is talk about getting people started. You know, you've decided, yeah, the 3D experience sounds cool. What do we do from here? And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So, Mike, welcome to InPod. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I wanted to, I always start with the same question for engineers, and it's going to be a little bit different for you since you're on the sales side. So I'll ask you, instead of what was your first version of SolidWorks, what was the first version of SolidWorks or one of the value solutions in the DS channel that you ever sold? I guess, when did you start is the roundabout question I'm asking.
Sure. So my history with the 3D experience platform actually goes back to about 2011. The first official release of the platform was in 2012. Just like new cars, the platform tends to get released in the year prior. Mm-hmm. That was my first sort of interaction with the platform was about 8 or 9 years ago.
So the platform's been around for quite a while, and you've been around it since the beginning. But when did you really start focusing on the 3D experience platform and these different roles and the different solutions that we have with it?
Sure. So it was really a transition period. So like most of our team, I started out selling SolidWorks with the company about 14 years ago and was very active in those products. After 2010, 2011, we had a customer that was very interested in the platform. And so I started learning more about that to support them and their investigation. And then over probably the next couple of years, I transitioned really from a focus. I gave up more and more of my customer responsibility for the SolidWorks customers because I was spending more and more time helping our customers who wanted to investigate a full PLM solution. And I've been totally sort of dedicated to the platform now for, I would say probably 6 years, and was involved in it, you know, a handful of years before that.
So you've got a lot of experience working with tons of different customers and really, you know, that process of let's get started on the platform. You know that inside and out and kind of what we go through.
Yes, so that's, yeah, absolutely. I've been through that a number of times with dozens of customers.
So let's talk about that, because I think it's something that customers are really getting more and more curious about. I've been having a lot more conversations about 3D experience. And, you know, I know what it is, and I think a lot of people are aware of, okay, this is the platform and this is kind of what it's used for. But let's talk about these roles and really getting people started on a platform. And I guess the first thing that I want to ask you, as far as getting users started on the platform, is what is really the value that you see in getting people on the platform? A lot of people are thinking about cloud. Cloud is, especially with 2020 being what it is, we're all thinking about ways we can kind of work more efficiently like that. So the cloud is a big deal. But what is the value of the 3D experience platform specifically in regard to like cloud solutions?
Sure. I guess the best way that I describe it for folks is if you want to connect all of the users on the new product development sort of spectrum, you know, from the very beginning where people are trying to sort of get ideas on what products to make, developing requirements and specifications, going through the engineering process, using project management, you know, quality, purchasing. So, you know, all the folks that touch that product development process, the platform is really good at coordinating and putting all the people, the process, and the data together really in a frictionless environment.
So one of the things that I kind of thought about with the platform, especially when I talked with Jordan Tadic about it a few months ago, was when you're looking at getting started on the platform, you're really shopping for the different jobs that you do. So inside of the platform, as we're going to kind of talk about here in a bit, there are these different roles that we all have. So we've got like collaborative business innovators, social business analyst, collaborative industry innovator, lots of different stuff going on. And really you're looking at what do I do as my job to get me started? Because the platform isn't for only SOLIDWORKS users. It's not only for administrative users. The platform can really be for anyone, right?
Yeah, exactly. And just like, you know, we have solutions that bring value and increase efficiency for engineering, think of the 3D Experience platform as casting a much wider net, helping all of the different groups within the company sort of benefit from the experience, or not the experience, the efficiency of working in a kind of a real-time digital environment.
Collaboration is key. And I think that that's the main word that I hear thrown around with the 3D Experience platform. It's all about collaboration. It's all about what we do to work together and to really simplify our process.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's traditional, you know, as you look at sort of the history and the evolution of companies and the tools they use and the processes they use, you know, we're sort of in the next generation of tools, where we're moving away from siloed environments with, you know, quality has an application that doesn't talk to the project management application, that doesn't talk to the PDM application. And so now we're delivering tools and software apps that, you know, are specific to each person in the organization, gives them the tools they need to do their job in the context of all the other people that are involved in the, you know, designing and manufacturing products.
So talking about those different tools, let's dive in a little bit to the different tools, or we'll call them roles because it's what the platform calls them.
Right.
There's really those two introductory roles that people need to get started with. And it does vary based off of what you're doing, but they are the collaborative business innovator and the collaborative industry innovator. So just for the sake of people that don't really know what does this mean, because those are some fancy words, they're nice buzzwords, but to me, the collaborative business innovator is really for those that need to really communicate. Like if you need to participate in swim communities, or if you need to search, it's really great for just getting started. You're on the platform, you're working with other users. It's that collaboration within your business. Is that right, Mike? Is there anything that I'm leaving out? How would you best describe BI?
Yeah, so the business innovator role, I think of it as sort of the footings for the house that you're building. So the entire house is going to sit on those footings. Everyone who accesses the platform gets business innovator as a role, as the sort of the base role. And it's because the capabilities that it delivers are common across the entire enterprise. So things like the ability to collaborate and share information, powerful search tools, creating dashboards that deliver, you know, the information that's important to you as a platform user to make decisions and conduct your daily activities, the ability for everyone to leverage and look at and use that 3D data that your engineering group is putting together. So, you know, in the platform, when we put that data in, the system makes sort of a digital twin of that assembly or part. And then everyone downstream from engineering interacts with that digital part, which has all the information, the geometry, the attributes. And so everybody has the ability to look at and interrogate that 3D digital 3D representation of the CAD using that business innovation role.
So one of the things that I think is pretty cool about the business innovation role, and really all roles, is that they really are comprised of different apps that we have inside of it. So things like the search capability, things like the swim communities that are part of the business innovator, it's such a foundational role because those things go beyond just business innovator. So as we're about to hit on, there's industry innovator as well. It's not like everything that you do is only like, well, business innovator is only for searching within business innovator. Like you're searching the entire platform. So really yes. having these two foundational roles, it gets you started. It gets you what you need. It gets you those basic, the foundation, the footings for that house that we're building. Because without them, like you can't search. Without industry innovator, like you can't really do CAD stuff. It doesn't let you participate in the process for data and CAD mm-hmm. and projects and markups. We really right. have to have these two roles just to get started.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, while the business innovator role is sort of the initial role, everybody has to have it. The next role would be industry innovator. And I would say that role is typically 90 to 95% of the users on the platform also have industry innovator. And if you think about when you add industry innovator, you're really adding the ability to participate in processes. So to be a more active user on the platform. So not just searching for information that already exists or looking for data that's already been put in the system. With industry innovator, you can actually participate in project tasks. You can participate in change processes. You can do markups. So if you were reviewing a design, you'd be able to go in and actually mark up the digital representation of that product and then send that back to engineering and, you know, with feedback on what needs to be changed. So the industry innovator really takes you from somewhat of a passive participant on the system to a much more active participant in participating in the processes that the platform delivers across the enterprise.
You kind of got the wheels turning in my head there as you're talking about, well, we can do the markups on the live model and then we can kind of share it. My first thought was, okay, so if I'm going to mark it up, I can then share it in my swim community so that my engineers can kind of be part of that. So now we're already combining collaborative business innovator with industry innovator. And now they're already working together. So you can see this is how it's going to work because, you know, we can collaborate on our ideas. We can mark it up. We can say, here's what we like. Here's what we don't like. It's a quick, efficient way of doing it. Not to say there are tools like PDM that's inefficient, but being able to just share everything inside of the same platform in the cloud, I think it's a pretty nice way of just instantly saying, here's why these two roles work together so well, yes. just for working together on a simple project.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So Mike, one thing that you kind of hit on there was that different users need these roles to work inside of the platform. And one question that I hear a lot from different customers is because this is a web-based thing in most cases, assuming it's not an on-prem solution, you have to have your own license in order to access it. And I just wanted to ask you to kind of walk me through that because everyone that gets on the platform, they have to have a named user license assigned to them. Is that correct?
That is correct. And one of the reasons behind that is the roles, and so we call all of these different, so business innovation is a role, industry innovation is a role. All these roles can be assigned at a very granular level. And so we're not taking a whole group of capabilities and saying anybody that needs to do anything that's in this bundle buys this bundle. Instead, we're saying, okay, if Nick is going to be a project manager, he needs those platform foundation roles, and then we'll assign him the project manager role, which will deliver all the tools he needs to lay out the project, create Gantt charts, assign tasks. And so the way that we deliver the capabilities is very specific to what that user's responsibilities in the organization are.
It's that person's job. So right. What you're doing, like with project management, like we've got our project managers inside of Inflow for every project that we do, they would get the project management role because that for them, it ties together perfectly. Like project management, project manager, well, that's easy enough. It's going to vary what you need, but I think that's pretty cool that, you know, yes, it's named licensing, but your employees are named people. So Right. You just assign, you assign a project manager role for your project managers. You assign, sure. And of course they get their business innovator and industry innovator as well. But I do think that that's interesting. And I think it also goes with the fact that in the 3D experience platform, yeah, we've got our roles. And as we've kind of talked about, there are different apps within those roles. One thing that you kind of mentioned to me in the pre-show discussion was that these apps can be developed really, really quickly. And because they're different apps inside of it, it's really modular. So one of the parallels that you drew for me was like having an iPhone and like iPhone and Android, and how those are like, those are, you get your default apps, like you get your calendar, you get your calls, you get your messaging, you get that stuff, but you can really make it what you want it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the smartphone is a great parallel because, you know, pretty much everyone has a smartphone or knows someone that has a smartphone. And like you said, when you first get the phone, you get a default set of apps. So think of those default apps that come on your phone as the apps you get in the business innovator and industry innovator. Then, just like with your phone, I travel a fair amount. So I have some airline apps. I have some navigation apps. A lot of people have music apps, or, you know, I've got the app that allows me to turn it on and then it tells me what song is playing because it kind of drives me crazy. I can't remember the song. But you really can make it your own. And so the platform is very much the same. And apps, you know, you mentioned developing apps is faster and easier. And that's one of the reasons if you go on the Apple App Store, I mean, there are just tens and tens of thousands of apps, because an app is sort of a very small contained set of code that, you know, as long as they follow sort of the guidelines to be able to interact with the OS, you can make an app for all kinds of stuff. And it's the same here. So all these roles, the apps within the roles, all sort of share a common language that the digital platform speaks. And so that's why many people have multiple roles assigned. So in addition to the platform, you might be a project manager, and you might also be a product manager. And so you might have a couple of roles assigned. And when we looked at your apps, those apps might come from the SOLIDWORKS brand, the DS owns, the Innovia brand. So they all speak sort of that common language and all work together.
That is one of those cool things about the 3D experience platform when you're opening up the roles. And I know that I can't share my screen with the listeners of the podcast, which is disappointing. But whenever you open up your different apps that you've got, it'll tell you, hey, this is part of SOLIDWORKS. This is part of Innovia. This is part of Delmia. All of those different brands that we have inside of Dassault. There's different apps that kind of go with different ones. So they all interact with each other and really lets you kind of tie everything together. And I guess to kind of go back to where we were initially, everyone that's accessing the platform needs a license. But that really makes a lot of sense because we're trying to make sure that everyone has the right access that they need. Nothing would be worse than if it wasn't named licensing. And suddenly one of your project managers tries to log in and do their work, but someone else has that license checked out. Because now suddenly They're sitting there twiddling their thumbs for the entire day because Johnny in the next office over forgot to release the license when he left for lunch.
Yeah,
never
exactly.
Want that done.
No. So we deliver the capabilities you need, but not a bunch of capabilities you don't. And that's sort of the flip side to the named user coin is it can be very more specific and just deliver exactly what you need to make it your own.
Mike, I think that's a great segue into kind of talking about when we're setting up this platform and the implementation that we've got going on, because it is a system that is, it's very user-friendly and it's very, very powerful. But there's a lot of options with the 3D experience platform. Obviously, we've talked about a couple of the different roles, but within those roles, like you've got your different workflows if you're working in data management. So what we really want to do is create options that mirror whatever it is our customers need. So I talk about PDM workflows a lot with different people, and they say, well, what does a workflow look like? Well, what does your process look like? And it's very much the same idea with the 3D experience platform, is that this is a tool designed to mimic your process, designed to help you improve your process. If it's something like, I don't really want to mimic this, I want to make it better, we can do that as well. So I think that's a really cool thing about implementing the platform, is that this is a very custom system. This is something that, you know, what do you need it to do is really the question that we need to ask our customers, that anyone on the platform that needs to be asked, you know, what do you need this to do?
Right, exactly. And, you know, if you went back, say, 10 years ago, systems were heavily customized, and I use that word very specifically, because the out-of-the-box capabilities or the options in the software didn't deliver everything customers needed. So maybe the PDM or PLM system would give them, you know, 80% of what they need, and then the rest they would write custom code to sort of close those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
That works fine until you're ready to do an upgrade. And then the software upgrade comes from Dassault, and maybe some of your customizations now no longer work. So the solution to that was to make the platform very powerful and highly configurable, so we can try to cover that 98% of what customers want by simply configuring the system rather than introducing custom code that is going to make upgrading and interfacing with other systems more difficult.
Custom code is always one of those things that when we're talking about upgrading, hey, do you have any custom code that you need to upgrade? And I always get a tentative, yeah, why?
Yeah.
Hopefully with the 3D experience platform, and kind of like you've talked about, it's designed to be modular. It's designed to make these upgrades go a lot smoother. I actually, what was it, just last weekend, I think, I got an update on the 3D experience platform. Like, I got an email saying, hey, we've upgraded you to the latest version, which is one of those really cool things about the platform, is that you don't have to do your annual updates because it's kind of updating for you as it goes, because Dassault is always pushing new features and new things going on.
Yep. Yeah, and it's the platform is constantly evolving, and because everyone is staying, quote, out of the box, right, no custom code, just configurations, those upgrades tend to go very smoothly. And just like you get an update to your Gmail or you get an update to Amazon, those updates get pushed out, and then now you've shed, you know, as a customer, you've shed having to have all the IT overhead, all the servers, all the backups, conducting all the upgrade testing, doing the upgrade itself. You know, you're sort of shedding yourself of all those things, and you're really allowing your team to focus on the real reason you have this team put together, which is to, you know, design great products and sell them to great customers.
Yeah, you don't have to call me anymore to get yourself upgraded. Instead, you'll just hear from Dassault, hey, we've updated you. And that's a really nice way of making sure that, you know, people worry about upgrades. And like, that's IT's job. IT's job is to worry about things like upgrades and knowing, well, is this going to crash my system? It's not going to, because this is something that they're managing from the top. They know their tool, they know their apps, they know the things that are happening with it. So you don't have to worry as they go through and they do this upgrade, because they have the experience doing this. They wrote the programs. I hope they know what they're doing.
Right. Sure, absolutely.
So Mike,
absolutely.
One of the other things that we always stress with our customers and with anybody that is learning a new tool is training on it. And of course, that's one of the big things that we do. Once you are up and going with the platform, we want to make sure that both administrators and general users know what they're doing. Making sure that you understand your new tools, because as we've kind of talked about, the platform is very flexible. And it can do a lot of different stuff. So we need to make sure that users aren't kind of going off down rabbit holes and getting lost and then needing us to fish them out of it. Instead, we kind of show them, here's the apps that you're using. Here's the process that you're following. For the administrators, here's how you assign your roles. Here's how you bring in new users. That kind of stuff is all things that we really focus on in our training. Because with a tool like this, I think training is absolutely paramount to getting people comfortable and accustomed to working on such a new system, I mean, new to them.
Yeah, of course. And that's one of the real ways that we at Inflow can deliver value to customers is, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we've been working with the platform for almost 10 years. And so to make a system that is powerful enough to be configured to address almost any need, there's a lot. On the backside of the system, lots of options, and we can guide a customer through, you know, tell us how you want this process to work. Who do you want to be notified? What attributes are important to you? And then we'll do the stuff on the back end. You don't have to worry about that. And that way you'll have a system that is configured to work the way you need it to very quickly, and you'll be up and running. And then as part of that implementation process, we're also going to deliver that training so that you have an admin or a couple admins that can take care of all the day-to-day stuff, right? BS is taking care of all the upgrades and all that stuff. But somebody's going to assign roles and maybe add attributes and change a process step. So we'll train those folks on how to do that. And also the users on how to now leverage this system that's been configured for their use and the best practices and the way to leverage those capabilities to be even more efficient.
Leveraging the eight plus years of experience that we've got at Inflow is always a really good way to make sure that, hey, we're going to get what we want out of this platform. You know, anybody can try to set something up by themselves. I'm all for trial and error. That's how I've learned a ton of things in my life, and I'm all for that. But as far as like getting something like this set up, which can be a huge tool that can really transform an entire business, I think it is really important to kind of leverage those people that you know have the experience. And yeah, like you said, Mike, we've been doing this for a long time. We've got at least as much experience, if not more than anybody that I could think of. We've got a really great team that helps get people started and get people going. So on the lines of getting people going, do we have any ways of kind of getting people up and going quickly? Because I know that it's almost a daunting task for some people thinking, well, this could transform my whole company. What does that mean? What does that look like? Do we have like a short-term pilot type thing that we can do to get people started with the 3D Experience platform just so they can try it out and see, is this the right fit?
Yes, absolutely. And like any with, you know, really new technology, a lot of times, you know, customers will look at it and say, hey, in theory, this looks great, but will it really work for me? And so there are low cost ways that we can put together a short pilot project, maybe a 3-month project, where we'll put some users on, we'll set up and configure the system for some, you know, for a few processes, and really guide the customer through how they would use the system and validating that it will serve their needs. The other thing that we do a lot is, you know, we've talked about how broad the platform is. Typically customers have some things that are sort of high priorities, the things that are driving the interest, you know, right now, today. But they also want to be able to look down the road and make sure that whatever system they select not only can address those immediate needs that are driving them to look at new solutions, but also that, you know, it's the horse they're going to ride can get them over the finish line down the road. So we have a lot of discussions, you know, sort of at a high level about the expanse of the platform, but generally then we'll focus it down to sort of where they want to start or what things are most important to them. And that's where we would start like a pilot project. So, you know, you can't eat the elephant. Well, you can, I guess, one bite at a time. But nobody tries to eat it all at once. So
I wouldn't.
We've got a pretty good system in place for helping customers make a good decision, you know, make sure that it's a good fit for them long term, but then also sort of, zooming the camera in and focusing a little bit closer on what's most important today.
And we've heard from a lot of those customers, those people that are getting started on the platform now, especially those early adopters of the platform. You know, we've been hearing from them that they're really excited because this is something they've been waiting on for a long, long time. We've heard people talking about this for years. You know, the cloud, 2020 has definitely pushed people more towards, hey, what can we do in a cloud-based solution? But the reception that we've got has been fantastic for the different people that have been looking for this because, you know, this is that solution. This is that cloud-based solution for you to be doing your SolidWorks engineering, to be doing your change process, to be doing like there's another platform, there's another role called a social business analyst, where we can kind of do market analysis. Being able to put that all in one spot, it solves a lot of problems and it makes things a lot easier for our customers. So the reception, especially for just getting started on the platform, it's been phenomenal so far. And I think that's really, really exciting to this point. So Mike,
yeah, it really has. And in two cases, two different customers who don't know each other, both told me almost the exact same thing. I envisioned a system like this years ago and have been waiting on someone to deliver it. And you guys have done.
That's really cool that the two people to say the same thing tells you, hey, this has a lot of potential as a tool for a lot of different people. So Mike, who makes sense to talk to about, to really talk to us about the 3D Experience Platform, or to really start investing it, those adopters of the 3D Experience Platform, what makes a good candidate in this case? I know that that's kind of a broad question, and really it sounds like the answer could be anybody, but in your opinion, since you've been working with these customers for a long time, who makes a great candidate to really talk about the 3D Experience Platform today?
Yeah, and I think that when you said it's a pretty broad question, you're exactly right. So I would say almost anyone could benefit from a platform discussion. And the reason I say that is you love your SOLIDWORKS, you're not going to change that. Maybe you love your SOLIDWORKS PDM, you're not going to change that. But you mentioned the social business analyst role. What the heck is that? So if you're a small company and you're making products that get sold to a consumer, how powerful would it be, instead of spending hours and hours and hours trying to research what customers are saying and asking for and what market trends are, for you to be able to sort of point an application out onto the internet and give it some topics and have it go out there and collect information and sort of boil that down and present it back to you to say, hey, 86% of people are asking for this new feature, or, you know, 40% of people dislike this about their current product. Think about the value that that gives you as a small business owner to be able to say, what product do I make next? You don't have to guess what the market wants. You'll know what the market wants.
And that's huge for like marketing and R&D departments in small and big companies, just being able to do that research so quickly. And that's a role on the platform right now. Like if you did start on the 3D Experience Platform, you can start doing that today. You don't have to wait at all.
You could start with that and nothing else. So there are lots of on-ramps to the platform. And so the other thing I will say is in lots of our customers have been long time Dassault customers. The platform is really where Dassault is headed. It doesn't mean that they're going to stop making any of the traditional products, right? Chevy still makes the Corvette. They've been making it forever. But that doesn't mean they don't come out with new models and new ideas.
There'll probably be an electric Corvette one day.
Yes, absolutely. I think probably sooner rather than later. So, you know, just getting more familiar with the platform and some of the things that it can deliver is probably a good idea for, you know, all of our customers.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of where the conversations I've had have been. It's people saying, I've started hearing rumblings about this, that this is really growing in popularity. What can you tell me about the platform? When should I be looking at this? Is this something that I think about 5 years down the road? Is it something I think about right now, 5 months down the road? You know, there's a lot of those discussions happening now, which is a lot of why I wanted to have you on this episode, because I wanted to get out in front of that and make it so that, you know, we can all understand what this means and that we've got these different roles. But I think overall, this has been a really great introduction for people just wondering, what do I do to get started on this? What does this introductory conversation look like? You know, the platform's cool, but the platform is almost like a buzzword. So what does it mean with a 3D experience platform? What can we do to get started? And I think this has been a really fantastic conversation. So Mike, thank you so much for joining me on this. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, Nick. Very passionate about this, and I love sharing this information with others. And because at the end of the day, we're all about trying to help our customers succeed. And this definitely gives a whole new set of possibilities to how they can do that.
Definitely. I'm really excited to see where this goes because the platform's always growing. It's always evolving. Like I said, I got an update last week. So there's a lot going on. So Mike, thank you so much for joining me again, listeners. That was Mike Farley, the sales director of 3D Experience here with Inflow. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I did as well. That was really cool. There's a lot going on with the platform, a lot to learn about it. As always, check it out. Check out the Inflow blog. We're always posting about the 3D experience platform, and there's a lot happening in the world. Next week is Thanksgiving. I don't know exactly what I'll be doing next week. I might be off, but we'll see. Other than that, if I don't talk to you next week, have a happy Thanksgiving to those in America. Otherwise, I guess have a happy Thursday if you're not in America. And I'll be talking to you guys either next week or 2 weeks from now. Not quite sure. All right. See you.